What is the evolution of thought? The evolution of thought. That's an interesting concept. The evolution of thought throughout all ages has been finding what already exists within each one of us, revealing what already exists within each one of us, and having already what exists in each one of us. How wonderful that is. And we'll never know what it is because while we are living the experience, we are evolving the thought, we are revealing the thought, and we're having the thought as a beautiful thought, but we don't realize that there's a future. Oh, we might, to a degree, realize there is a future, just like we don't think of the past. When we think of, for instance, money. Money is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing that we have money, and it is a handy thing to have money, and it is good to have money. But money was not always what it is today. It was not always the dollar bill. It was not always the tangible paper stuff that you could pass around and easily hand around to people. In the beginning of time, you might say, at least the time of human beings sharing and living together in a community, people wanted to have what the other people had. And so people made crops, they made plants, they did all sorts of good things. They had the ability to create and produce something. And in the ability to create and produce something, they brought these things forth and they had them in their life and people wanted them. People said, oh my goodness, you make good shoes. You make good clothing. You make good crops that from your field. You have more food than you know what to do with. And so I'd like to have some of your food if you'd like to give it up. Well, what do you want to exchange for it? What do you want to give me for that food that I'm going to give you? Now, I'll give it to you, generally speaking, because I'm just a nice guy and because I share what I have and I enjoy sharing what I have. But now this goes on and I'm doing all the sharing. Now, what are you going to do? Well, I have a horse and I have a cow and I have milk. And so I'd like to share some milk with you. All right. So we'll say that a gallon of milk is worth so much. And so we will give you credit because a pair of shoes is worth more than a gallon of milk. Let's say a pair of shoes is worth 10 gallons of milk or 15 gallons of milk. And it's going to take you a period of time to bring up that 15 gallons of milk to me and for me to use it and not have a refrigerator stored in, so I'll have to have it, you know, on a daily basis. All right, well, we'll do that. So we'll take the shoes now, and then we'll give you the milk as we go along. And bartering became a very prominent thing, a very normal thing. In fact, it still goes on today in a more sophisticated form, but it still goes on today. And the money matters are handled in most interesting, fantastic ways. People bartered for years and did not have money. And money was developed by various cultures as an object and sometimes a precious stone or some precious thing that people thought was very wonderful and they wanted it in their house, in their life. And they were willing to give up so many gallons of milk for that. And this is how bartering began. And then money came along. Then people said, well, let's see now. Let's create some money. Now, how do we create money? Money has to have something behind it. Money has to have something that says, hey, these coins that have my face stamped on them, these coins are worth so much money. Now, I have so much money in my possession. I have so much of things. I have houses and cars and all these good things, so therefore I have value. So the money has value. Now, we could discuss that to a great length, but here we're sharing the idea of bartering. And so money is a matter of bartering. I have $100 and I can buy $100 worth of merchandise. And I carry that $100 around with me and I give that $100 to you and you carry it around with you and you give that $100 to other people. And so it goes. Now, the banking business develops too. So you don't have to carry all that money around with you. You can write a check. And as you write a check, then that check goes against your account and it says that you have that amount of money in your account. And then some creative soul comes along and says, hey, you don't have to write checks. We have a very sophisticated system here where we can have a plastic credit card. And on the credit card is your face or your name and your number. And you just click that through your device and the bank says, yes, they have that amount of money, or yes, they're good for that amount of money, and then you're good for it. And then another gadget comes along, so you don't have to carry the plastic with you, and it's called a retina gadget. And it looks into your eye, and it reads your eye, so that's your identity. And in your identity are all of your values. Whoever has the identity holder knows everything about you. They know your credit, they know your value, they know everything about you. And that seems to be a very sophisticated idea. And eventually, we'll get back to thought. We've come through thought to bring the barter system up through the retina, and now we're back to thought again. And thought will be our financial source. Thought will be the revolution of all that is. Now take, for instance, all desires are instantly manifest as I think about it. That's quite an accomplishment. And yet that's what we do. All the desires that we have are instantly manifest as I think about it. Now, true, somebody else thought about it too, to create it so that you can go and buy it. And as you think about it, you think about the store where it's available. And so you go into that store and you pick it up and you have it. And that's kind of nice. It's sort of a wonderful experience to be able to have all those things available to you whenever you desire. But now the ultimate of barter, the ultimate of the evolution of thought on this level is when you say that you need, want, desire something, that you don't need, want, and desire anything. Because the minute you think of an object, it is before you. It is there, and you have it. The minute you think of a car, you have it. You don't necessarily reveal it instantly because you think about it. You say, I want such and such a car. I want that car to be of such configuration. I want that car to have these various aspects of it. And so, you see, that slows it down. And then we will eventually get to the configuration beyond that, where the evolution of our thought takes us to the instant revelation of the thought without determining what the thought is all about. We don't have to determine what kind of a car it is, what kind of accessories it has on it. We don't have to determine what kind of a house we live in, what kind of accessories the house has. We don't have to determine anything because as we think about it, our thought is already complete within ourselves. Everything that has ever been thought is thought in its fullness, and we think in its relativeness, in its, you might say, development, in its evolution. But actually, it is already complete. And it's up to us to have our mind so ready and so open and so free that the evolution of thought is done, that when we think anything, it is the finest, the highest, the best, the most wonderful, the most fantastic, and it is complete, and it is in our possession or in our usefulness right now. And 10 minutes from now, we may think of something else which would take away that idea and take some other idea and give it importance. And if and as that happens, we have that new object. Now, the evolution of thought is not as far in the future as we sometimes think. The evolution of thought is right here, right now, and it's up to us to sort of awaken to it. It's up to us to sort of become aware that it is already here and that we do already have it, and we can and are already enjoying it. As we have this attitude, this realization, this evolution of thought in our consciousness, we have everything. As we have this evolution of the idea, of the concept, of anything at all, we already have it. And this is why we say, open my eyes, and let me see exactly what it all is. And it is now. It is now, and it is complete. It is now, and it is done. And the evolution of thought has no evolution. It is only the evolution of our being aware of that thought, our being aware of what already exists. Because truly that is what we are doing. We are becoming aware of what already exists, and as we become aware of what already exists, we are beginning to experience it in a most marvelous, fantastic manner. We can lift up our eyes and see the brightness, see the goodness, see the totality of all. We can realize that there is no evolution of thought. It is only the evolution of our awareness of it. And we can realize that all is now. And we can realize that we are that allness right now. And as we call this allness forth in our life experience, in our world, in our attitudes, in whatever we are doing, we have the most complete, wonderful, fulfilled experience that we could ever dream for ourselves. When we wake up, we find out our awareness of thought is the evolution that we have. And it is done now. Dwell with me in that awareness and delight in how wonderful it is. And know that truly I love you. I love you. I love you.